This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Potbread. Promise, more news this time. Here we go, straight into it. The new UK police investigation, official investigation, into the case of Madeleine McCann is now open and going, and they've really gone to town on this, haven't they, Lee?
Well, they have, and I don't really understand why it's taken them so long to actually get involved. It was one of those cases. It was a horrendous, heartbreaking thing. And when you think of the original investigations into it, the McCanns themselves were investigated. Friends of the family were investigated. And really, nobody seemed to focus on what actually happened over there. The police in Portugal actually, just went off at ridiculous tangents, and nobody really seemed to focus on what had happened to this little girl. Mm. And may I just say here, and I know I do bang on about things like this, the only people, and they, again, were taken to task for it, the only people who actually did pursue this properly on a regular basis was the Daily Express. They had their
Not just the Express. The Sun did a good job.
Well, the Sun did, but the Daily Express are very good at continuing stories where other papers, like, drop them. The Daily Express continue, and they continued to keep the story of Madeleine McCann on the front page for a long, long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally, the police have decided to conduct their own investigation, a proper investigation. They say they've got 12 suspects in the UK, and they make it very
clear. I think we need to highlight the point. This is not the Portuguese police.
No,
it's the English police.
Yeah. Why is it taking them so long to do it, though, Eric? Why is it taking them
I don't know. Years? I don't know. There's some politics going on there, which I don't want to know about, I suppose.
Which is absolutely horrendous, if that's true, and I believe that you could well be right.
Yeah. Anyway, I love this one, because all hail to the Sainsbury girl who said no. And why did she say no? She said no because there was some woman blathering away on her mobile phone at the point when she was at the checkout. And so, therefore, the checkout girl didn't know what the hell was going on. The woman wasn't paying proper attention. And I think she was right to say, "Madam, I'll serve you when you put your phone down." And she's darned right.
I think she's absolutely right. I think mobile phones, more than any other device, are ruining the world. Going back to the airports, we were talking part one. Mm. It just amazes me that couples, people who are together, sit there ignoring each other and looking down at the phones. That's all they do. My phone rang. Can you hear it?
Yep.
That's my mobile phone.
I rest my case.
But I'm ignoring it.
Good man.
I'm desperately trying to switch it off. God, did it? Yeah, but the thing is, you see, the whole world now focuses its attention on its mobile phone. It doesn't focus its attention
on
other
things. No, it doesn't. Lee, it's really simple. I have two phones in the office, and every time this tends to happen, I say these words to somebody, and they go, "What?" And they'll phone the office line, or try to, and it's busy. Yeah. So they phone my mobile phone. And I'll say, "Hi, were you just trying to call my office line?" "Yeah. I'm on it talking to somebody. I'll have to call you back." "Why?" "Because I'm on the phone. I've only got two ears, and I can't do two ears, one mouth, don't work." And it never ceases to amaze me why people don't get it. If my office line is busy and they're calling from another office, it makes logical sense. I'm talking to someone. Why would you phone another phone to try and make me talk when I can't talk to you?
That's a very good point. I've never thought of it in that way before. Yes, that's a very interesting point. So if your phone's at SC, but actually it could be somebody else on your office phone. It could be that very nice Petra.
Well, it could be, but it's very rare. It has to be said, it's very rare.
What, the Petra's on the phone?
Yes.
Does she not do much in your office?
No, not really.
I've heard this said before.
Yes, it's true. But anyway, we think the girl whose name I can't find, but anyway, she said, "I'm not going to serve you until you put your phone down." I think she was absolutely right.
And of course she was.
And in actual fact, they should put a sign up at checkouts, "No phones. By all means, if it's an emergency call and your sister's about to have a baby, fine. I can live with that. But not an inane business call when you're trying to do your shopping."
I think that's right. It's just ignorant. Absolute ignorance.
It is. There's no respect for the girl who's on the checkout. And
no.
Everybody should do this. And I get cards with sort of strange comments as I leave sometimes. Because my aim in any kind of store is to make the checkout girl smile.
How do you do that, Eric?
Just by, being nice and smiling. Why be a miserable git? They're helping you out. They're serving you. Be nice to them.
It's only because if she smiles at you, in your head, that means she fancies you.
Well, they all do anyway.
Yeah, right.
Moving on, there's a new channel starting in the UK this week. Coming.
Go on,
excuse
then.
Me while I go to sleep.
I must say, ladies and gentlemen, on the running order of the stories we're going to do, yes, which we have every week,
yes,
Eric has deliberately left no information on there at all, so I don't have any idea what he's talking about.
Would you like to read the headline I wrote?
Boring! The new UK channel for Rach and Lee starts Monday. Zzz. That's not us all, that's Eric doing sleeping.
That is it.
No, that's G R R R N M M P. Yours is Z Z Z Z Z. That's like a Z bed.
Z bed. Oh yes.
Yeah.
Well, if you weren't doing it, my problem. Well, anyway, here comes a shameless plug for a channel which is going to bore the pants off. Although I did notice there was one program on there starring Dennis Waterman that might.
Oh no!
Which might appeal to me, but as for the rest of it, it's. The
How could he be a minder? He's three.
It's not minder. It's
tall.
Not. It's not minder. It's later. This program. Oh, sorry. This channel is called the Drama Channel.
Oh, you old queen!
And it's got full of British cultural drama stuff.
Oh, like what?
Like all of them that you can name, I suspect.
Coronation Street.
No, the something or other house. In Victorian something or other.
The house I live in.
All the la-di-da-di-da-di-arty stuff.
What, like Downtown Abbey and that rubbish?
All that drama stuff.
Yeah.
It's a whole channel full of it.
Will it have that prison story from Australia on?
I don't think so, because that's not English, is it?
Oh, right. No, it's Australia. Well, Australia's English. I reckon we still own it.
We still own it. Oh, yeah, of course we do. Anyway,
so it's English.
So you don't like the idea of a drama channel, then?
Not if it's English drama, no. Honestly, no. You've totally pitched that at the wrong level.
Have I? Oh, thank God for that.
English drama
is
the worst. If English TV is rubbish and English police programmes, apart from The Bill, that was good. The Bill was good. Coronation Street's good. Emmerdale's good. The Bill was good. They've gone. Right. The rest of them, Downtown Abbey, all that kind of stuff, needs just, putting in a big television can and sinking.
Oh, that'll be the end of all the BBC programmes, thank God, then. Just have Top Gear 24-7.
That would be a bad... Yeah, Top Gear, that's all we need.
Top Gear 24-7. Which, of course, we now get on Slovak television with English language as well. Nice. The Chinese twins that have been reunited after 41 years. I kind of like this. Separated as babies, they've been reunited after a chance encounter in China's Sichuan province. I got the Chinese out and the English one, I couldn't get it. Marvellous. Anyway, it was due to their parents' poverty. Their pair had been put for adoption in 1972, just a couple of months old. But since then, the twin brothers have also managed to track down their 74-year-old mother earlier in July. I think that's lovely.
I think that's really nice. It is a nice story, isn't it? And I don't know, sometimes those stories actually touch your heartstrings, if you've got any. And
you're a journalist. You can't have any.
No, but actually what we have to do...
Oh, you're a retired journalist now, so you can have them.
I'm not... cheeky monkey. I retired when I was very, very young. I was 23 when I retired. And
he retired from the pub. He couldn't drink anymore.
Yeah. But they do. They tug at your heartstrings. And what we heartless journalists are very good at is seeing what would tug at a proper human being's heartstrings.
Yeah.
And when you think these people, these twin brothers, have spent 40 years apart. Yeah. And, you know, that would make them, well, they're in the 40s now. Everybody say, yeah, they've got 30 years, but what a waste of life, what a waste of filial affection. Sad. Yeah, it's tragic.
Well, anyway, somebody who hasn't been wasting his life, and I have to say, I watched this interview on Sky News. I loved every minute of it. It was so amazing to watch. Sir Bruce Forsyth, the man who is still the good old vaudeville style of old-fashioned entertainment, light entertainment.
Yeah.
And he's just a star in my book. Thank God he got us there. And people were actually casting aspersions over Sir Bruce.
Were they indeed? Why? What were they saying?
They reckoned that Sir Bruce was only there for the old people at Glastonbury.
Well, that's what the Rolling Stones and Kenny Rogers were there for.
Well, that's very commendable if you've got the evidence to prove it. So Sir Bruce, he did no more than he jumped on the phone and started talking to Eamon Holmes on Sky News and said that it was completely untrue. In fact, Sir Bruce took a sort of straw poll of the audience and reckoned that the bulk of the hands that went up were between 20 and 30-year-old people, meaning they wanted old-fashioned entertainment, not the new stuff. He said there were some from the 40s, 50s, very few from the 60s, and none from the 70s at all. So he was actually playing to a 20 to 30-year-old audience. And that was brilliant. It wasn't old people.
I think that's right. I think really, when they put somebody like Bruce Forsyth on a rock concert, though, it is a bit suspect. I don't mean suspect in the fact that, you know, he shouldn't be there, but it is like I've forgotten that word that I'm trying to think of, but it's not the norm, what you would expect. It's like a novelty act. That was the word I was trying to think of, novelty. Novelty act. He's a novelty act there.
Yeah.
And that's because he is incredibly popular. He's still incredibly popular. Hmm. And so he will draw people, because he's still a big force on BBC television and various. And so he will draw people of all age groups. So that's a good thing. But should really somebody like Bruce Forsyth be at a rock concert?
Why not? He was doing a comedy piece, talking to people, as the host of Strictly Come Dancing, which everybody loves anyway. I can't find anybody who doesn't like it.
I don't like it.
And he's been, well, you're the odd man out. And he's been performing on stage for all these years, doing good old-fashioned showbiz entertainment, light entertainment stuff. Yeah. I mean, some of Bruce's stuff is quite bawdy, as it goes.
Of course it is.
And that's what his great thing is, because he appeals to both. And what I love was at the end of it, and he said, that's why I love getting there. I'm a stage-struck old fool, and I just love it. And he does. He does. He's wonderful.
Can I just go back to Strictly Come Dancing and reprimand you for what you just said about me?
What?
The reason I don't like Strictly Come Dancing is because I can't see any sense in watching a programme about people who can't dance.
Well, that's the whole point. They learn to dance.
Well, why don't we have a programme about them dancing when they've learned to dance, rather than showing how bad they are?
Well, that's what they do on the way through the series. They start bad and they end up, the best ones end up good and win.
But it's boring.
No.
It is.
No.
It's boring. Oh, it's like watching your granddad dancing at a party.
No, then I argue with the judges as well.
Well, yeah, but if you look at the judges, how old are they? They're old people. Old. One of them was that old, she had to be kicked off.
No. I argue with the judges as well. And what's his name, the one that's always miserable?
Yeah.
Him, that's the one. Actually, do you know, most of the time he's right.
Yeah, but it's still about people who can't dance. That's why I don't like it. If I'm going to watch dancing, which I don't like dancing anyway, I'm a very good dancer myself, actually. But I don't
Excuse me.
I used to be a disco queen, dear.
Excuse me. Have you got your Victor Sylvester medals?
No, but I've got my swimming medals.
Have you got your Victor Sylvester? Because you know what they are, the Victor Sylvester medals. You know
I have no idea what those are.
Do you know?
You casting aspersions again. I've had some aspersions. We've got some in the garden at the moment. But, yeah.
Do you not know what they are? Really?
No, well, I know Victor Sylvester. He wasn't a dancer.
No, he was a band leader.
What was he banned from?
It was the Victor Sylvester Orchestra, you know. You know, you're just winding me up. Anyway, boys and girls, what used to happen years ago is Victor Sylvester, who was had his own orchestra and was the leader of an orchestra.
Oh, no, you're going to say you've got your Victor Sylvester medals as well as everything else.
Bronze, silver and gold in Latin and ballroom.
Why haven't you got them in English?
God, blimey, mate, I ain't going to get them. An Ohio sinkhole swallows a car driver. I don't believe this at all. I think it'd been there for ages, and it was a blonde lady who drove into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do not. Whatever that word is, I can't remember now either. You can't say that about blonde ladies. Blonde ladies are very nice, particularly if they're natural blondes.
Really?
They are absolutely wonderful drivers. That's a terrible, sexist, racist, almost blondest thing to say.
But that's because I live in Slovakia, and if you see somebody doing a bad driving manoeuvre, you say blondie.
Pamela Knox is having a go at you. Pamela Knox in Ohio, although it was bye-bye-o when you went down that sinkholio. You need to get in touch and reprimand that naughty Eric for what he's just said about
it. Yeah, but you can imagine driving down the road, oops. Can you imagine, you go home to your husband, can't you? You go home, you say, hello, dear. I've just had an accident in the car. Where is it? Oh, it's 10 foot down and hole. Yeah, right. No, you hit a lamppost. No, there's a hole. It wasn't there. Then the hole happened just as I got onto it, and my car's down the hole. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. Pink elephants. No one's going to believe you, are they?
Well, no, actually, I must agree, because if you remember that incident with my darling wife, Andrea, when my Bentley rolled away and she was there, all she had to do was put the handbrake on. And she said, oh, I didn't notice, I was texting, I agree with you, and she's not even blonde.
There you go, then, you see. At the House of Lords, we know that well, is to have the toilets refurbed at a minimal cost of £100,000.
Well, I'm sure they've had to do that because the reputations of our MPs and our politicians have gone right down the toilet once again as they have decided to turn down a £10,000 pay rise when, in fact, we all know at the end of the day, when the committee that has recommended it says you've got to have it, they'll go, oh, all right, then I'll have it, but I don't really want it, you know. What a load of rubbish. Yeah,
indeed.
Don't stand on the toilet, man.
Yeah, lovely. Where's your credit card? The NHS says to foreign nationals, as it celebrates 65 years this year, the National Health Service boss, Jeremy Hunt, has decided that, you have to cough up if you're a foreign national and want to use the NHS. And there is uproar in the UK about this.
Well, I think there should be, because...
And I don't understand why.
Well, it depends. The general uproar in Britain is that it's not enough. I don't agree with this at all.
Really?
I think it's a ludicrous move.
Lucky you is all I can say.
What did you say, Eric? You died on me then.
Well, I nearly did it this time. Lucky you.
Why me?
You went to Las Vegas, right?
Yeah.
If you're in Las Vegas and have an asthma attack, as I did when the yellow cloud comes down over Vegas...
Yeah.
Which, you know, the sandy storm clouds that come down over Vegas, which are very, very dangerous, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I ended up in hospital. They called 911. Before the doctor would treat me, my colleague had to hand over his credit card.
I absolutely, I agree with you. And really, I am defending the foreign nationals coming into Britain by saying I think it's wrong that we should charge them the £200. I think it is absolutely ludicrous. But I do agree with you that actually people who come into Britain should be asked to take out health insurance. It's £200. It's a ludicrous amount. What's that going to do? That just hurts people. A lot of people come over here to make money, to earn money, because they're not able to earn proper money over
in their
own country.
Hang on, Lee, you're a blinking genius.
Oh.
You are a blinking genius.
Maybe I could leave my mark on the world then.
I think you can. I genuinely think you can. Right, there's a number of arguments here, one of which is the Hippocratic Oath, where a doctor's got to look after a patient that's suffering. Okay.
Absolutely.
Right, yeah. I'm with that all the way.
Yeah.
The second one is that the National Health Service of various countries, including Slovakia and the UK, is paid for by the citizens of those particular countries.
Yeah.
So if somebody's going into the UK, now I know this will slow down the process a bit, but they can have two...
Can I just interrupt for a minute? I have some information here for the ladies and gentlemen. Will you notice, ladies and gentlemen, that he stopped me in my tracks by saying that I'm a genius, and the only reason he did that was so that he could take over and talk about what he wanted to talk about?
No, absolutely not, because you said the words health insurance. So when a foreign national, non-EU, because this applies to non-EU, comes into the country, they can go through passport control, and then they can go through health insurance control. And if they haven't got one, they can pay, like take out insurance at the airport for health cover. That way round,
I think that's right.
That way round, no Hippocratic Oath problem, no NHS having to charge money which they won't be able to do properly, so they'll waste it in the first place. And thirdly, everybody that comes in will know they've got to pay this money on entry to the UK, so they won't come in as health tourists anyway, because they know they've got to pay as soon as they get there.
That's right. Absolutely. And I think that's 100% right. And I think if you and I could go down in the annals of history for doing something good, if we could get that introduced into the statutes of the UK,
Yeah, I think we could do that, Lee, because if you got them there at the like the border check-in sort of thing, number one, the insurance companies would create an awful lot of jobs out of it.
Yeah.
Number two, the revenue would go into the UK, not into maybe another country who then will quite happily pay, but let's have the money into the country of where they're going, i.e. in this case the UK. So they fly into the UK, you get health insurance within the UK, you get people employed within the UK. If they've got any health issues, they can be checked if they've got tablets with them or whatever, they can look at that at the point and go, okay, there you go. And if you're 99 years old, they can go, you're having a laugh, mate, go home.
I think that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, it was my genius idea in the first place.
Yes.
But going back to the original point on this, it's very simply, the £200 is a ludicrous amount. It affects people who are coming over here potentially to better their lives when probably they can't even have £200 they could probably not afford. And also, what it does, it will make not one jot of difference to the NHS. Nope. They'll have a couple of hundred pounds coming in.
No, because they'll spend more than that collecting it.
Collecting it, absolutely.
Even this one's... even standing up, this one's over Lee's head. The geek stuff is here. Worry not, dear listener. The UK population has been divided into five personality types.
Yeah.
Based on their love or hate for technology. The groups include tech rich, social addict, TV worshippers, quality seekers, price
pragmatists. At least I can speak the language.
Geek calculator asks 10 questions about gadgets and lifestyle to determine which group you belong to.
I have no idea which group I'm. There isn't a group there for me.
No, it's called Luddite.
Well, actually, as I live in Shropshire, you could be quite right.
But I don't know.
No, there isn't a group for me. There should be a group called for the ones who don't understand anything.
Yeah.
And that's me. I don't understand anything.
There was a phrase that they were using, wasn't there? It was on the... You know when they were talking a couple of years ago about the digital divide and how the affluent will have the digital and the other people will be the losers because they'd be the other side of the digital divide, and they had a name for it.
Yeah.
What was it?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
I can't think of it.
No, neither can I. Are we having a grey moment? I think we're having a grey moment, dear listener. Anyway, there's some kind of intimation here that if you're on one group or the other, you're not doing so well. And I don't understand that. And this is very true of me, I have to say, in even music.
Well, you are tech rich.
Well, no, I just don't like old.
Ooh.
There is a place for the Strolling Bones and the Beatles and all that sort of music. Absolutely. All joking apart, there is a... I did actually find when I was doing a check through my music library the other week, I did have a track called Lay Lady Lay. I'm nearly sick again. But the fact is, the one thing that I love about music is what's coming out now. Not what came out 40 years ago. It has a place. I still like it now and again. I dip my toes in the water. But then I'm back to, in Slovakia, the only station to listen to is Europa 2 or Europe 2. And because that plays modern music, high energy of today most of the time. I do complain at them when they play the odd ballad because I want to slap them. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's the same sort of music that you would hear on, let me think of a station in the UK, Capital FM in London. It's that music.
You cannot deny somebody's personal choice. And if that is your personal choice, that is your personal choice. And more power to your elbow.
I like new.
Yeah, but why do you like new? What's wrong with old? Old is historic. Old is the basis of new. If we didn't have the old, we wouldn't have the new. What you tend to do, you are like America. You are like America. America has no history to speak of. It has a history going back maybe 150 years. Right. And the problem with America is that what it did, it built its history out of sticks. And those sticks rotted and burnt away. Now, what they then...
Yeah, but Lee, there's a problem. Lee.
There is, because you just interrupted me.
No, Lee, this is a serious scientific problem.
Go on.
Even recently, I've done discotheques, as they are called.
Discotheques.
Yes.
Why does it have a tech on the end?
I don't know. Probably because us DJs are tech aware. Now, I started doing this in the 70s, carrying around huge boxes of records.
Do you notice how many times he refers back to his past, though?
Yeah. If I'd have carried on carrying all those boxes of records around, I'd look like an orangutan now with my arms down by my knees.
And he does have short arms, ladies and gentlemen. I can confirm that.
Whereas today, I can take...
He never reach into his pocket to buy a beer.
If at worst I take one flight case type box, or under normal circumstances, a couple of hard drives.
I know, but this isn't what I'm saying. What I'm saying is...
Lee, you know what you got to say?
Oh, it's not that time already, is
Goodbye.
It?
Goodbye!
Goodbye, everybody!
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.